I've got Bloomington Police Chief Brendan Hefner in studio, Public Information Officer Sarah Mayer, also Elias Mendiola, Officer of the Bloomington Police Department. He's in shadowing. I'm sorry we haven't gotten a chance to get to know you yet, but we got some hot topics we're talking about today. And they include the fact that you have pedestrian stop data being published with some inferences in the area, not by our media outlet, not here at WJBC, but by some people who have decided to take a look at the numbers of police officer pedestrian stops and infer that, again, certain parts of the population are being targeted. Now, first off, I want to know what constitutes a pedestrian stop, because I'm just not in the areas, apparently, where police officers are randomly
stopping people. Someone walking in the street.
Okay.
It could be someone in the area where a crime has occurred or a high crime area acting in a suspicious manner. But this isn't just the stops. What they were looking at was stops and then the searches.
Okay.
When so we're patting people down. Yes.
There had to be a reason that somebody was actually patted down. It's not like Officer Mayer's going to walk in and say, "Susan, you look suspicious today. I'm going to suddenly do a pat down."
Absolutely. And I want to make it perfectly clear, as I had stated before, it's based on a person's actions or information that we have. It is not based on race. And it was put together by a citizen who filed a FOIA to get our pedestrian stop information.
That's a Freedom of Information Act.
Yes. And they compiled it, and so obviously they got the information from us. But what they infer is that we're targeting. They're not really looking at everything because, first of all, it wasn't out there. We did stop mostly white citizens. What they were inferring was the number of African Americans that were searched at a higher rate and then released as opposed to whites. But what they never looked at was our high crime areas via the heat map you have. It shows that pretty much 99% of these pedestrian stops that they are questioning occurred in our high crime areas. Pedestrian stops and frisks, when warranted and legal, they help us get guns and drugs off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that. It is just one way. It is not all we do. However, unfortunately, I was not surprised. I would have been surprised if there were a lot of stops and searches outside our high crime areas, because then I would have had some issues with that. But unfortunately, in our high crime areas, particularly the one in the middle, we have hybrid gang activity in that area. And we deal with that a lot. We know these gang members. When incidents occur, depending on the activity and their actions, that is what we do. That is what we're supposed to be doing.
I think also the term pedestrian stop, I think, may be confusing to some people who are only reading the headline.
Yes.
Because that makes it sound like you have officers walking the beat and just randomly stopping people. You could have had an officer that was called to the scene by a neighbor or by a concerned citizen that said, "Hey, there's something suspicious going on here." And once they're called to the scene, they stop people who are walking.
Yes.
Not people who are driving. So that's the definition of a pedestrian stop. Am I correct?
Yes. And I think one other thing that was in that study that was kind of overlooked, they made a point to point out stopping people walking in the roadway. Well, people are thinking, well, you cannot walk in a roadway. That's illegal. However, what they don't know is that we have major issues, particularly on the west side, where there are so many people in the roadway that drivers cannot get by.
I've had that problem.
Yes, and it is an issue. So when we see that, yes, we're going to take action. And that's what we do. But these things are not denoted in there, obviously.
I know this is going to sound juvenile, but is there still such a thing as a jaywalking ticket? I mean, you're supposed to cross at certain places. Not every residential area has a large number of crosswalks. But then you're at least supposed to look both ways and make sure there's no traffic coming before you cross the roadways. What frightens the dickens out of me is if I'm in an area where a lot of people are in the roadway and they just walk right out in front of my car. I'm going to be the one held responsible for not yielding to a pedestrian. But if a pedestrian is technically jaywalking, can it be their fault?
Yes, it can be their fault. And I've seen where citations are issued to pedestrians who have actually been hit before. And some bicyclists traveling the wrong way and cutting in front of vehicles. So now bear in mind, we're going to look at everything in its totality But no, you would not be, you know, depending on the circumstances, you are just not automatically put at fault.
Okay. In these high crime areas where there were pedestrian pat downs, so to speak, where you were actually searching people, in your opinion, what were you finding the most? Were you finding drugs? Were you finding people who had nothing on them? Were you finding people with illegal weapons?
A majority of the time, you don't find stuff. But that doesn't mean someone has pitched something. That doesn't mean they're going to do something. And, you know, you could pat down 10 or 15 people, and then at one time, like I said, it's all lawful and legal, but that one time, you find a gun. Other times, you find drugs. Those are guns and drugs that will cause nobody any harm in the public.
Do I have the right as a citizen to refuse a pat-down?
No, because we're doing it for a lawful reason. And I would tell people, if they want to frisk you after a stop, that's fine. And what you're going to get is a search receipt that we actually did that, and the officer's name will be on there.
You were trying to make a point about the fact that you understand there's not a program out there looking for people specifically, correct?
We don't have a program that targets specific groups within our community. We never have, nor would I condone it. We also have profiling and discriminatory practices, policies against that within the department. The other thing I was going to say is that when we do stop and frisk a person, they are given a receipt which shows the officer's name, and on the back it denotes why that action was taken. And like I said, it's based on either their actions, a call that we got, or information that we have. It is not in no way, shape, or manner based on race.
I don't know the person that decided to compile the pedestrian stop data that, again, seemed very accusatory that the Bloomington Police Department had an agenda, so to speak. But I'm just curious, do you think that person was familiar enough with you to know that you're a person of color? Because that seems doubly insulting to say that a police chief would not only have an agenda against a certain part of the population, but also you specifically.
I really don't know. It would seem like common sense to me, but
do you run?
I can't answer that question.
Do you run into a lot of people who have not met you or seen the diversity in the department and have assumptions that all the police officers are white and all of the criminals are black, and here we're just going to go in and prove that there's an agenda or that there's, you know, a specific discrimination happening, and then they run into the Bloomington police chief's a man of color? Hello?
Well, sometimes that does not make a difference with people. And some people, as I've said before, are trying to paint us with a broad brush with other areas that have had problems. But we try to work on our diversity. We're trying to work to become more diverse. But even with our crimes, our work is done primarily in the high crime areas and is based on our calls for service, never based on race. You know, it's unfortunately, we have an issue with hybrid gangs here. And unfortunately, 99%, well, we don't want any gangs, but 99% of these gangs are made up of African-American young men.
But not exclusively. There are other gangs that are also made up of Latinos, whites, and more.
Right, but I would also say that it's not just the pedestrian stops. It's not just our enforcement actions that we're doing, but we're approaching it in a two-pronged way, you know. We have the coffee with a cop, the ice cream with a cop. We work with the Boys and Girls Club. That community house is going to be an extension. So we're trying to approach it in two ways. And what I'm hoping is, just like that witness who came forward in the Zimmerman, when we have incidents that occur in our higher crime areas, because we're around more, like some officers are there, or the community house is there, maybe people will be more willing to come forward. Because you know what? You don't have to accept gangs and drug dealings and shootings and other things. The only way you can help us combat that is to come forward. So we're trying to use a two-prong approach and always will.
There is a yearly update that is going to be published sometime this month that you're going to be delivering to all of us that are crime statistics and insider details about what's been happening in the Bloomington Police Department for the last year. What are some of the statistics and details we're going to be looking forward to hearing about?
Well, I think you'll be looking forward to know that last year was a 25-year low in crime, and this year will probably be the same or perhaps a little lower. We did have a little spike in violent crime, but that's because, unlike some other, we've been having some armed robberies at some of our convenience stores and Hucks and different things of this nature. And while we've caught some of these people, and some of them had starter pistols and other things, it is still classified as an armed robbery. So we've reached out, Officer Mayer and others, to these places to make sure that they don't have signs in the windows where, you know, officers can't see when they go by, or it obstructs the cameras and everything, to make it safer for them. But bottom line is, we should be right about or just below where we were crime-wise last year, which was a 25-year low. And I just, it's the work of the officers.
It's the work of the officers. Can I ever help an officer? I've always wanted to know this. As I was visualizing what happened in some of the surprise robberies that happened, if I saw a police officer chasing a suspect and the suspect crossed in front of me before the police officer, if I accidentally trip the suspect, am I going to be in trouble trying to help the police officer?
I would just say, you always ask an officer if they need assistance. Now, if the person trips, they just trip.
Mm-hmm.
But never run up to an officer when they're involved in something. You know, you can ask them from a safe distance if they need assistance, because you never know, you know, exactly what's going on
is,
or what they're going to do. Or depending on if you see something, we're actually getting hurt, because we did recognize a couple citizens a couple years ago when a person jumped on that officer. That was kind of obvious. But in other times, you really need to assess things at first, because the officer may not know you're coming to assist them.
Good point.
So then you might wind up in another way, and then we have to apologize to you later.
Well, I'm never going to remember the word assistance in a time of adrenaline in a big case, so I'm just going to say, officer, can I help?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
We're going to go with that.